There are beautiful people in this world. Sometimes I feel God sits down and he actually uses time to create perfection. So this is why Almarie Dupree, you got to Google this lady. Man say smoy. And we're not even allowed to be jealous because we're Christians and all now. But Almarie, hello, how are you doing?
Janine, I must say there's some mornings where I'm not sure God has finished the work with me. With breakfast radio, that changes quite a bit.
Yeah, that, are you an early morning person?
Not at all. I'm actually a night owl, so I must say it was a huge, huge process for me to actually to get to that point where I'm okay with breakfast radio. But now it's such a pleasure. It's a beautiful part of the day that you actually get to experience once you're used to it.
Okay, when she says morning presenter, she is a radio presenter, also a singer-songwriter, a voice artist, an MC, a registered music therapist, and a former TV presenter. So this one doesn't like sleeping much. But when she wakes up, she's all spunk and ready for this. Almarie, let's introduce you as the normal girl at home. The one mini pantoffels, Anna. The one before you put yes. the makeup and you have to impress no one yet. Before the first cup of coffee. How God yes. made you that, Almarie. Who are you?
Oh, I am a nature girl. I said, if someone can actually just pay me to walk the whole day in nature, that's who I am. So, yes, definitely, I think coming from a small town, having the privilege of growing up with two brothers where you spend most of your days outside, that's still who I am in my essence. And just the call with Macy, that really appreciate what God gave us in nature. And also enjoying, yeah, I must say, the simple things in life. And you spoke about the pantoffels, but when I get the chance, I'm in my robe, especially now in winter, and just liking to do life, I think, the way God intended it for us. And that, for me, entails a lot of quiet time. I have to revive by myself quite often. So you will definitely find me walking somewhere or spending time with friends or just being quiet at home.
Is that where you stay in Cape Town, is just to slow the pace a bit?
I wouldn't say to slow the pace, but to actually experience this beautiful mountain every day. And Janine, I'm going to be honest, when I moved to Cape Town, I wanted to come to Cape Town for quite some time. I fell in love with a part of the coast called Arniston. It's a small fisher village and it became quite popular over the years. But that was initially what attracted me to the Western Cape. But you can get quite lonely because if you tell a friend, listen, I'm going to meet you for coffee, in Cape Town, that means a 15-minute drive plus, you know. So it's not around the corner.
Yeah.
So you have to be okay with your own company as well.
Yeah, luckily you are. And you've got your music now. I mean, you started off early, as in 5 years of age. Yeah, you start off discovering the beauty called music. Is that, did you have music in the family? Is that why you went and sat in front of a piano originally?
I must say, I discovered over the years, there's quite a few musicians in our family. And later, I did not have the privilege of knowing my grandmothers, but the one was playing the organ in church, and I've got a cousin who is a cellist, but she does it professionally. So there's quite a few musicians, and my father has got a beautiful voice, but my mom also studied piano. So I'm so glad that she decided that I should do that at a young age. And I think the privilege of making music for me is the fact that it's one of the easiest ways for me to express myself. I often find it easier than having to use words when I want to express how I feel or what I think about something.
Yeah, because it's emotion as well. I mean, a note is just the richest thing, even one note, the way you can use it. And you don't even have to use lyrics to convey something when it comes between you and God using music.
Absolutely. And I think he communicates with us in so many different ways. And there's even people that believe that, and I also think like that, but it's like you pick the notes from heaven almost. It's, if you trust God for that, I think the melody is there. and he will instill it into your heart. But I mean, musically, everything in nature also has so much music in it. So it's such a beautiful medium to use.
I'm thinking about August Rush. Remember that movie, August Rush?
Yes.
And how everything was music. And I'm thinking to myself, we limit it to actual notes and beats and lyric, and that's how we define music. But I wonder, I mean, God's God and nothing, he's got no limitations. I'm sure he can hear music in literally anything.
Absolutely. And coming back to music therapy, which I study, it's based on the whole communication between a mother and an infant and the musical components due to that. So even, you know, before we're born, we know that the rhythm of a mother's heart is one of the first things that a baby can hear. And then it's the voices of mom and dad. So there's a lot of music happening in our lives from a young age. I mean, from we are conceived. So yes, I think there's a lot of rhythm and a lot of melodies that we don't even realize are actually music.
Explain this thing to me, the music therapy. I mean, you've got a master's in that. What do you actually do in music therapy?
At this point, I'm going to ask anybody to help me out. It's been quite a time that I've studied. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we did creative music therapy. There are different forms, but the whole intention with music therapy is that you can communicate, just like you can go and sit with someone and you can use words to express yourself. Music is an expression form that is so universal, and it's non-invasive, and especially when it comes to, let's say, for example, someone has a condition where they can't express themselves with words, then we can work with whatever the person can bring to the session. So, for example, if someone are only capable to use their leg, we can take a drum and we can put a drum underneath that person's leg. You can even adapt whatever is needed. And that person in that moment has the ability to express themselves.
Oh, wow.
And the therapist comes in terms of having to then make something musical for that person. So if they bring a beat, you're going to put something with a guitar or with a piano. And even in the context, I've worked in a few rehabilitation centers. But there, it's very powerful because sometimes even if someone has words, it's difficult to express emotion. And you can communicate on a drum and you don't have to know that the therapist is actually listening to how you're playing, how fast you're playing, how loud you're playing. But you communicate a lot of yourself when you express yourself through music. And then you have the same aims as a psychologist, for example. And then you will lead the person to a place. But it's a different way for someone to communicate themselves.
That's so interesting. I mean, psychology is something that has interested you for a while. And then interpreting the way they do the music to understanding the person in front of you. How accurate is that kind of interpretation?
I would say it is quite accurate. A lot of the research, well, it started out in the Second World War, music therapy as a profession. What they realized was they had live musicians going to hospitals and like a violinist, and people would play for these patients. And they started to realize that people actually recovered quicker when they were exposed to music. And then they did numerous studies, you know, to get to the point where they realized that there's so much value in music. And I think there's still a lot of research needed. In South Africa, it's still a young profession. But I think from my own experience as a therapist, you just see the change. And sometimes, depending on who you work with, for example, if you're working with a kid with autism, the results might not be lasting, but even if it is just for that moment, you know, to know that you are giving someone a voice that doesn't have a voice in a different forum, that's quite a privilege.
And they feel heard. They feel seen. I'm sure that must be so precious for someone who's going through that.
Absolutely. Just maybe one thing. In South Africa, we know we are so blessed with a variety of styles and cultures, and music is all over the place. So it's in itself already therapeutic. And there's also a part that's called community music therapy, where the therapist actually helps the community to apply music without the therapist having to be present. So that's a process you take the community through. Because it's impossible for one person to always be there. And let's be honest, there's people that can drum and play, you know, instruments like I can only dream of. So you want to enhance what's already in the community.
Mm. It is one form of communication. And obviously the fact when you write a song, it's got a rhyme, there's a poetry to it. But you're also a radio host. You've done TV presenting, you did some acting, you're a writer. So communication is definitely something that you've been born with. Arthur Burke he's got all these gifts that you have, and a communicator is someone, he calls them an exhorter. It's someone who, there isn't such a thing as a stranger. You can communicate with anyone because you can relate with anyone because that is your gift. But communicating with words, normal speaking words, that's different from communicating in an artistic way. And you had to do both. Do you love doing it?
I think some of the ways that I communicate in it definitely developed over time. If I think back when I started singing at a congregation in Pretoria way back, I did not even have the self-confidence to pray within a group.
Sure.
So expressing myself in that way grew over time. But I think when it comes to music, that is something that I think God blessed me with that comes quite naturally. When it comes to songwriting, for me, the feel of a melody is always the first place where I start. So I would go and sit behind my piano or my keyboard, and then I will feel something. And normally there's a theme that comes up or is already there. And I often think about some things in life, things happening in the world for an extensive period of time before I go to the piano. And then it's just like the music bringing everything that you think inside together. And then I would go and sit down and write the lyrics.
Mm. But lyric writing is a communication where you take what's inside you and you package it. Then if you're like an MC or an actor or someone, it's still you presenting to an audience and they're just receiving. But when you're a radio presenter, the focus goes on the other person, and now it's a whole new way of communicating where you've got to activate and be a catalyst for them to communicate. That's a shift in itself as well.
Absolutely. And Janine, you will know as a radio presenter, people often think you either an introvert or an extrovert, and they will assume that a person behind a microphone on radio is very extroverted. But what I love about radio is what you said now, it's about the other person. It's about the listeners. So if you always have that focus in mind and put yourself out of the way, and I think for any medium where you use your voice to express yourself, it helps to enhance what you actually want to say, because it's not about you or how you feel. And when it comes to music, for me, it's very important to be authentic. I want to feel what I write about, because I think if you're just going to worry about how people are going to perceive what you say or want to please people with what you say, then you lose a lot of your own voice in that process.
Mm, yeah. Let's get to worship. Because that's another passion in your life. If you're saying it's not about myself, it's about the other person, well, take that one step further and you get to worship, where it's completely about the King of the Universe. Tell me about your passion for worship.
Well, again, the first time I led worship, I realized this is just not singing, because I've done that for an extensive period of time. And then the first time I led worship, I realized, no, this is a different kind of responsibility. And the more, again, if you can put yourself out of the way, it's for me very important as well that you can't stand there. And that's how it worked with me when I started out. I was still very young, just fresh out of varsity. And you would still go on a Friday night and you will go to a club or on a Saturday night. And then the Sunday you will go to church. Mm-hmm. And that's where a shift came in me, where I realized if I want to be a vessel, then it means that I have to represent what I'm singing about and what I believe. And that is to get to a place of purity. And we don't get it right, but you grow into that space where you realize you can only take people as far or let them experience God if you are willing to lay yourself down. And It's almost to die to yourself, as we're supposed to do as Christians, so that God can do whatever he wants in that moment.
Okay, well, that keeps you right there. That'll keep you busy for a lifetime representing
exactly.
Jesus.
For a lifetime.
But when you worship, there's obviously someone that you're worshiping. And how did you get saved in the first place if you want to worship a real God?
that's a big question. I think I'm not one of those people that have a specific date. I feel honored to say that I think from a young age, and bless my parents for, you know, walking the path before me in terms of serving the Lord. But I was a rebellious teenager. So, you know, there's a lot of times where I wandered away from God, and that the grace was there to pull me back. And even when I started out to lead worship, the leaders that I had in the church, they never disciplined us, but they mentored us back to God whenever they felt like you're there, but you're not quite there in your own life or the way that you worshipped. And yes, I think to get to that place where you realize God loves you in any way and form, but it's not something to take for granted. And I think once you realize the price that has been paid for your salvation, you know, I feel very responsible when I think I want to stand on a platform and lead other people into worship. So, but I think being real with yourself is something that's very important for me, because at the end of the day, other people might give you advice. Other people might have opinions about how you should live or what you should do. But when someone said this to me, it was Rikert Buerta. He said to me the one day, everything that happens in life is like a room where you have to learn how to take on the character of Jesus. So whether it's good things that happen to you or whether it's bad, but it's a classroom where you have to learn. And I think that's my perspective, because you are going to fail. Bad things are going to happen in life, but to actually take it to God. And I think in the past, I was more reliant on other people when it came to advice. And it's also nice to go to other people sometimes because they make you feel good in that moment.
Yeah.
But that's not always lasting. So to take it to God as soon as possible.
The other thing I always enjoy is the fact that we're part of the body of Christ and that we each have our own angle on God, depending on where we are in life, what we're reading in the Bible, the challenges that you're going through right now. And some people would be more aware of God's patience. Other would be more aware of his long suffering or his sense of humor or the romance or whatever.
Yes.
So because of where you are in life at this moment, what's your angle? When you worship him, what bit of his character impresses you most right now?
I would say at the present moment is the power of God, in the sense of be still and know that I am God. I think that's a space I'm at the moment. And especially if I think about the recent song that Saakmok, we have so many spaces and places in life where we can share opinions or what we think or what we feel. But to get to that place again where I actually think about who is the God of the universe and how small I am compared to what is happening, you know, worldwide and the bigger picture, for me, I'm really at that space where less is sometimes more, and to be very conscious of what I share and how I share it so that I can honor God.
Awesome. If people want to follow you, where do they go?
Okay, so for the English-speaking people especially, this one is important because when I did a show called Almerie vir Altyd is actually the name, and it comes from Potch. When I have a friend, Boer Bosch, and he said, yeah, I must call myself Almerie vir Altyd, but then I realized English-speaking people, they read it as Almerie vir Altyd.
Yes.
So sorry for that one, but it's Almerie vir Altyd. So they will find me on most platforms under that name.
Oh, there you have it. That's explained. Okay, let's get to the song. Wat Saakmok. Tell me about this song.
It's one of those songs that the first time that when I send it out to radio stations, I didn't want to explain what it's about, but there's still a part of me that realized that it's quite important to maybe just give the background, but I still want people to experience whatever they need. For me, it was inspired by a friend of mine, Lyra. She comes from the Ukraine, and ever since the war broke out, or the conflict that already continued for previous years, but significantly happened with from 2021 roundabout. But having to see what she went through, where I think there were so many times where it just feels for her like people don't even look at it as from an emotional point of view. It's like it's almost like the Samaritan, you know, people just walking past. They see the brokenness, they see the unjustness in the world, but they notice it, but we look at it like we look at a TV screen these days. It's like another form of entertainment almost. And it was heartbreaking for her, you know, to share what's still happening there today. Having her parents, they had to flee to South Africa at one point. They can't even speak English, Afrikaans, any of the languages. And that really inspired me to write the song, which is almost to ask people to evaluate their hearts. And that's why there's a line in the song that says, "Wie gaan jou hart uit jou kop uithaal?" Who's going to take your heart out of your head so that you can actually feel what is happening in the world, and that we can have that compassion, like God has compassion on people, and that it isn't just for us almost like entertainment, to look at these horrific things that happen not only worldwide, I mean, it's on our doorstep as well, but if we can feel that compassion for our neighbor.
Wat saak maak, translated, what matters, what truly matters.
Yes. Yeah,
that's important. Almarie Dupré, we're going to listen to the song, Almarie. May your life count. May ground be prepared so that when you go sow your seeds in obedience, that you will have much, much fruit, and that people's lives will really be touched by something said in obedience and surrendered to Jesus. And may you always have new creative ideas. May his mercies be new every morning. And may you always have the capacity to love him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and to truly love others in the way he would have done so. May your life count. But first, let's give you a voice musically. Let's listen to Wat Saak Maak.
Thank you, Janine.